Well, thank you for having Janie and I here again, about the fourth time maybe, right? So we're not from Los Angeles anymore. I don't even know what that place is. It's not where that place is, it's what that place is. We're from Franklin, Tennessee now. That's our new home. We haven't been there quite a year yet. It'll be a year in December. Keep us in prayer about our new life in Tennessee as we are still learning what that's all about and getting our roots down. And as you can imagine, when we came back from Europe, it was, we had no housing, no jobs, no furniture. Okay, God, we're right where you want us. What do? And we ended up going east. And it's been incredible. By the way, I'll keep sharing just a little bit. If you have your Bibles, you can open to John 21. I could have tested you and said, please open to John 22. It's like, no, there's no John 22. You know, thank you. The worship was just phenomenal. And talk about, yeah, you know, the Lord is here. We don't have to ask the Lord to be here. We know he's here. But there's something about when we position our hearts right, you just know. You know. We are people as believers who have the spirit of his wisdom, his understanding, and his revelation. Right? Revelation. That means we know. We don't have to be people as Christians to say, I don't know. No, we know. We know he is with us. Have you heard that new song? I think it's new to me. It's called Good, Good Father. Love that song. Good, Good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. There's a difference between Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's a difference between that, because I know the Bible tells me so. But there's a difference between that and I am loved by you. That's who I am. The difference is I meditate on that. I meditate on long ago, even before he made the world, God loved me and chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I am. That's who I am. I am loved by God because I meditate on that. Or as my pastor in Tennessee says, he says, marinate in that. Saturate yourself in that. Meditate yourself on who I am. It's more than just Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So, and by the way, thank you for singing our wedding song. Can you imagine what that was? How great thou art. Janie does this to me. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That's our wedding song. How great thou art. It seems like, and I know I heard words in some of the worship songs that he goes before us. It's like, see, kids, I've gone before you to Houston, Texas. And he plays our wedding song. I've gone before you. While we were on our mission trip, we were actually in France, in Nancy, and there was a Russian congregation within that church. And they were singing in Russian, how great thou art. And we were there. And like different pivotal points of our lives. It's like, I'm with you. It's those reminders when you're stepping out in faith, you're taking risk, and the Lord says, see, I've gone before you. And he'll use those markers, like such as our wedding song, how great thou art. Where did that come from? That was just beautiful. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a couple of stories. One of them is while we were in France about a young man, and then the other one I'll tell you in a little while about my own kind of a crash, an emotional crash. So while we were in France, about 20 months ago, the pastor, he asked me, would you mind speaking to one of the young guys in my congregation? He was addicted to pornography. I said, I'd love to speak with him. So a couple of days later, as this meeting was set up, we're chatting, and just like that. It was like the Lord was right there whispering into my ear. And he gave me a question. Will you ask him this? And I said to him, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you said these words to the Lord? I love you, Jesus. And we're talking about a young man who at one time was very vital on the worship team, had loved Jesus, and his world was just crashing. And that was the question. When was the last time you said these words to the Lord? I love you, Jesus. Now, the guy was French, but I know he knew English. And it was like time stood still. I mean, 20 seconds went by, and he was just frozen. It was a question that only the Holy Spirit can do and ask that would actually change the course of his life. But I'll never forget his response. And it was this: I don't recall. I mean, try to imagine. Go ask a man, a Christian man, any man who's married, and you ask him, when was the last time you said to your wife, I love you, sweetheart? And you get a response that is this: I don't recall. So you can imagine what that's how he felt when I asked him that question. It did something that I had no idea what it would do. And to this day, did he crash? Was he spiraling so far down? Yeah, he was. It took him a while, but he got back up. And that was awesome. That was awesome. So I began to really think about that as a tool in my tool belt. For I am now, by the way, I'm now licensed in the state of Tennessee for substance abuse counseling. It finally happened 8 months later. It was a lot of work. So that's part of my tool. One of my tools in my belt is the issue of reverence. And that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you guys today about our affection that we have for Jesus. I would say regarding addiction or idolatry, anything that commands your attention to the point of your neglect of the things of God. Anything. John, 1 John 5:21, he says, my children, be careful of idols, right? One translation is, be careful of anything, there's the word anything, that would take place in your heart that belongs rightfully to God. Be careful of anything. So I would say is anything commanding our affections? And so let's look at this passage in John 20, 21. So Jesus is about ready. He's at the end of his time on earth. And he has an encounter with Peter, and the disciples are there, and it was a pretty interesting little meeting. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, and really we'll be talking mostly about just that first question. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? And it was probably months and months later that I came to this passage and I realized how powerful is it to the Lord that we love him above every single thing. So in that day, we'll have to look at what Jesus was talking about. What was there on the scene? What was present? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So what is Peter looking at as Jesus says that question? How about his brother? There was family. Andrew. Peter, do you love me? Will you love me more than you love your brother? Your family, your blood, flesh and blood. It could be any family. How about his buddies, his comrades, James and John, that they've been fishing for years together? Do you love me more than these two? So there's people, there's family, there's friends, there's, yeah. Do you love me more than these? Then there's fishing. We love, by the way, you should love your job. I hope you love your job. Please love your job. If you don't love your job, we got to work on that. It's really important that we do love what we do. 500,000 people in America are going to die this year because of not heart disease, stress-related heart disease. Stress-related. People are not happy. God has created us for passion. Ecclesiastes 3:11, I love this verse from the Amplified Version, that God has put eternity in the hearts and in the minds of every man. Well, people. A divinely implanted sense of purpose. Woo. Divinely implanted. God implanted a sense of purpose. You get up with purpose. It's a beautiful thing. So fishing. I think Peter loved fishing. And I think he loved James and John. Those were his comrades, his buddies. They loved doing what they did. Career. Yeah, do you love me more than your career? It's okay. Like what you do. But Jesus was just saying this. Do you love me more than that? Then there's the nets and the fish. You notice how, I love this part. You know, Jesus had him catch a multitude of fish. Have you caught anything? And Peter wasn't quite sure what was going on. No. We'll cast your net over there. The prophets that our work brings. We have a friend. We just got to spend time with him and his wife. They're from Alaska. They're missionaries, pastors. And they take the boats out with the nets, and they catch fish. They don't sell the fish. It's their ministry. They give it away. So during the winter months, those that are in need will have enough. And what I loved about this, he said, he goes, do you know how, and this is what they catch, halibut and salmon. And he realized how much it cost per pound. They caught $19,000 worth. Check out the profit. And here I'm thinking, profit, baby. You know, but that's not what they do. But that's a lot. There's a lot of profit in doing what we love. Do you love me more than what your work has helped you to profit in? Yeah. Do you love me more than money? Okay. By the way, my friend from Alaska sends you greetings. Okay, he's joking. He wanted you to know. He goes, I just want my friends who are from Texas, they're always saying everything is big in Texas. And he goes, well, you tell them that if we were to cut Alaska in half and make it into two states, Texas would be the third largest state in America. He loves that. When I first met him, he ribbed me a little bit. I go, I like this guy. But anyway, there's his greeting for you Texans, okay? So here's how a way to think about it. If we think about when Jesus said, you love me more than these. Great, love your work, love your family, absolutely. I'll use work as an example. Don't worship your work. But let your work be worship. Because you are going to work acknowledging that he is above all things. Go to work feeling the pleasure of God. We got to be with our grandkids a few days ago. I feel the pleasure of God when I'm with my grandkids. Oh, it's beautiful. I don't worship them, but I let my time with them be worship. Let your time at work be worship, and God will bring you to a great place. Interestingly, notice that everything Jesus was talking to Peter about was all morally acceptable. Jesus did not bring anything about, he didn't talk about sexual immorality. He didn't talk about, Peter, stay away from black tar heroin. That's going to ruin your ministry for life. No. He was talking about, Peter, be devoted to me above all things. And he was talking about the morally acceptable things. I told you a story about my friend in France. That was immoral and demonic when you are engaging in pornographic stuff. It is immoral and demonic. I will tell you where I crashed. About something that was morally acceptable. Okay. Now, I didn't realize this, but I was here last February. I looked at the calendar. What? It was February 22nd. I couldn't believe it. And my crash was only 3 weeks earlier. And if you were here then, I only mentioned briefly that something had happened, but I would bring that to another date. I just was not at that place that I could even talk about it. It was way too fresh. But you would have recognized it because I had so much joy, because God had brought healing and comfort and nurture and pleasure his way, not my way. Okay, I'll tell you what that's about. So, let me tell you about something morally acceptable to us Americans and Europeans, because they love their, they call it football. They say our football is not football. we call it soccer, right? Their soccer, they call it football. They go, how do you guys call that football? You don't even kick it. I mean, barely. I mean, they're running with it, but soccer is football. For me, I have to be careful with sports. You know why? Because when I'm watching sports, I start to care. I care a lot. And I can get deeply involved emotionally, deeply attached to teams. And Super Bowl Sunday was February 1st, and I'm a huge Seahawks fan, and I despise the New England Patriots. And you beat us. And I thought to myself, why after the loss did I take it so hard? I mean, a true emotional breakdown. And that wasn't the first. But it was the first time that I actually brought it to life and light the following day before a trusted friend and one of our leaders. And I know it seemed embarrassing. And I said to the Lord before I had this meeting with this friend, I said, Lord, why is it that to me, it can't be just a game? And the Lord said, because to you, it can't be just a game, because to you, it's a God. It had become a God. And how did it become? Oh, I was just looking at my notes. I go, okay, I got to tell you this. And I'll never forget Sunday service on Super Bowl Sunday. It was a powerful and emotional service for us. But there was a ministry time that called all the men up front. So here I am, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm up front. We're worshiping. I'm on my knees. Jesus, you're above all. You are awesome. You're my God. And it really was a great time. How could I go from that to 5, 6, 7 hours later? I'm just devastated. I'm just crushed. And it's like, Ken, do you love me more than that game? And I could probably say, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't. Because my relationship to Jesus, it all just crashed. And I thought, wow. But Lord, that's how the Lord left it with me. Because to you, it's not just a game, it's a God. And the Lord left it at that, and then it caused me to wrestle. Well, where did that come from? And it's been 45 years that I've taken to heart the power of those games. Key games. I could tell you 100 of them that affected me. I don't know if you're Texas Longhorn fans. No?
Okay, forget that story. Okay.
So, and like Steve said, I had to learn to get, I had to be vulnerable. I had to be vulnerable, which means I'm going to reveal my weaknesses. And it's harder when it's morally acceptable, because it seems sometimes embarrassing. So I began to process that statement about that it was not just a game, but a God. And the Lord really wanted me to wrestle day after day after day, as long as it would take. And I thought, Lord, where did that come from? Why did I experience such despair? Has any of you seen the movie Fly Away Home? Fly Away Home, cute movie. Long story short, a little girl, she's maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, and she's living with her father. And she comes across this abandoned, this nest of eggs, goose eggs, and she rescues the goose eggs. And when the geese are born, the first thing that they see, that's mom. And who do the geese see? The girl. Your mom. Your mom. And now she has a responsibility to nurture and to figure out what it means, what that means. Very powerful. And that hit me when I thought, what became mom to me? What became that thing that was going to nurture me, that was going to protect me, cover me, pleasure me, which is important. Don't we do that to our babies? We nurture. You pleasure them. You protect them and cover them. My parents divorced when I was 4. And then by the age of 7, I had been sexually molested. And so there was so much pain. And then that's when sports entered my life. And that's when I started to remember that was my pleasure. That was my nurturing. I loved it. So much so that as the years went on, loss. Because it meant so much to me. That's my relationship. It was to sports. And then in my early teens to my early 20s, sexual morality was a part of my life. That to me was nurturing. And it felt protective and it felt pleasuring. So those became... But you know what I cut off right away as a Christian? That which was immoral. The sexual immorality is where that got cut off. I got married, been married almost 29 years. That has been such a huge part of the healing process as well. But you know what didn't get cut off was the immoral, the morally acceptable things, which was sports. So here it is, Super Bowl Sunday, and we lose. And I'm thinking this. I'm thinking, I didn't consciously think about it, but I felt betrayed. I felt such a huge loss, abandonment. And I'm thinking to myself, how could a group of 22 to 28-year-olds running with a ball, you let me down? Whoa. But I'm not going to tell anybody that. That's stupid. I'm a grown man. I'm supposed to be spiritually strong. But you're only as spiritually strong as you are emotionally strong. And I realized I was an emotional wreck. So, very interesting. You betrayed me. And it really can be a silly game. Bunch of guys running on with a ball. Crazy. And I said, from that point on, when I brought it to the light, I got vulnerable. I said, Lord, you know, this thing to me is a mountain. But I know that I am going to be so focused on you because Jesus Christ is the only undefeated one. You want to partner with someone that can't lose? It's Jesus. Because when we're so attached to a team or to a career, to our money, to our children, whatever, man, we will lose. We will experience loss. But if we attach ourselves to the one who truly covers us, truly nurtures us, truly pleasures us, he will show us the path of life. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And in his right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. He is our pleasure. He is the undefeated one.
Absolutely amazing. So
when sports and sex entered my life, you know what I said? Mom. That's what it was like. I didn't realize that's what it was. Mom. There's one that could nurture. My dad raised four boys. Bless his heart. I didn't have mom. So those things became mom. I'm longing to be taken care of. Let's close this up. If you could go to Revelation chapter 2. Because I want to tie in with what Jesus said to Peter. Do you love me more than these? And this passage is going to show you and I the seriousness of love. You know, Paul spoke in Ephesians about the church at Ephesus, about how they loved the Lord and they loved one another. And there's a lot of verses in Ephesians about love. May you understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. It also says that may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And I love this one. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, Ephesians 3. Though it's so great, you'll never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can you imagine that? Don't we want to live a life, live fully? Life and power that comes from God is by experiencing his love. Love, 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 love. Revelation 2:2-6. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But there is this about you that is good. You hate the deeds of the immoral Nicolaitans, just as I do. Here's a great question. If you were to ask somebody that is, let's talk about something immoral. Let's say it's pornography. And a guy is being vulnerable. He discloses this among five guys. It'd be very interesting to see what they would say he should do. We'll get past the confession, repentance, renouncing, and a prayer to break that. But what steps should one take? It'd be very, very interesting to hear the answers of what steps. And I'll guarantee you this, they're all good. But I would doubt that the one that is most important is not going to be said. Because it is impiety that leads to immorality and idolatry. Impiety is when you stop reverencing God and you begin to turn your back on him in any way. When you are turning your back, that means you are going back from what God saved you out of. And with idolatry, we begin to forget the Lord. We need to get people back to remembering where we've come from. Jesus' pure and passionate love for us. and are getting back to reverencing him. And that's what's important in our next steps. Reverencing the Lord. Remember, ask him, and I did. When was the last time you said, I love you, Jesus? He stopped reverencing the Lord. Because we see here in Revelation, there are good works. Those were good things, but Jesus said, but you know what? You left your first love. You can do all the good things. They're right. He said they were. Jesus said those were good things. But I have this against you. You have walked away from your first love. That is first and foremost absolutely important. I love you, Jesus. And we need that to be on our lips and in our heart every day and throughout our day. I love you, Jesus. And then he says, turn back to me again and work as you did at first. Interesting, he says, you hate the deeds of the immoral Nicolaitans just as I do. So what we have to be careful about is, it's not so much not liking what's immoral, it's being careful about what is morally acceptable and putting that above our devotion to Jesus. So, from now on, when I hear the letters NFL, it does not mean National Football League. It means never forget the Lord. Never forget. I actually asked the Lord, are there words I could put to, and I thought of a few, and I could hear James, you better try again. Try again, because it was like, that's corny. That's corny. But I realized what is so key to people. Look at the Israelites. What did they do when they came into good? What was the command? Be careful not to forget the Lord. And so never again will I allow Satan to use sports or anything else that's morally acceptable to get me to worship him. Because boy, Satan, he will do that. It is amazing how many men he has gotten to worship him through sports. And then lastly, let me just, what did Jesus say when he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? And this is what I want to close with. He said this each time when he asked, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Because I believe that God has people for you and me to influence, to impact. There is a people that need to know the Lord. There is a people that need to get out of darkness and into light. Sometimes people will ask me, what do you think of the 12 steps? That's all. I'm not going to get into that because I don't use that. But I say, how about this one step? Out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Let's start there. And loving him, one God, loving him with all of our hearts. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Because see, he was saying to Peter, if you'll love me above all other things, oh, I am going to send you sheep that you have no idea. And Peter, yeah, feed my sheep. And that's what the Lord is saying to you and me. I've got people for you. I've got people that are dying, that are needy, that are hungry, that are in want. People that they're lost. They're addicted. They're broken. I've got sheep for you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So you know what? When we truly, truly will love the Lord above everything else, we need to keep our eyes open to those that God is bringing. Feed my sheep. And he'll give us everything we need. We will lack no good thing. So, I love you, Jesus. Let those words be on our hearts and in our minds and in our voices again and again and again. Never lose reverencing Jesus with all your heart. That'll keep you going. Well, thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much
that you show us not what's immoral, but sometimes, Lord, the trap of devoting ourselves to the morally acceptable, even greater than you. Lord, would you speak those things to our hearts where we may love something more than you? Lord, we want to be people who live with passion, with our families, our friends, with our work. We want to be passionate people, never to worship anything or anyone, but to let everything and everyone be a point of worship. We let it be worship because you, Lord, are first and foremost above all. You alone, Lord, are the undefeated one. That our eyes would be so focused on you. How can we lose? Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Work in us, Lord, and through us. Cleanse us. Wash us, Lord. Show us. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Show us, Lord. Open our eyes. Give us vision. Give us clarity. Give us revelation that we are people who know, and we're not caught up. We're not clouded with things that we've given place to that we shouldn't. Lord, we are yours. Cleanse us, Lord. Give us vision. Show us the people that are ours, that you want to give us sheep, your lambs, that we would feed them and take care of them. Lord, we don't want anything to hinder our progress, our walk with you. Nothing. Thank you, Jesus. And we love you. Put that on your lips. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now when someone tells you, so when was the last time you said, I love you, Jesus? It's been all day. Thank you.
Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Ken, so much for sharing that. Because I'm still hurting from the Astros losing, dude. So, so you guys are dismissed. We're gonna be. Oh no, Onani's gonna be every first Sunday of the month. Remember that. We're gonna be over at Nani's in a couple of weeks. So anyway, you guys have a good weekend, a good week, and God bless you. To my soul.
worship you.